The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
We are taking you through the weekend on the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell, and the start of college football, it is just around the corner, and it's always fun when we can go inside the huddle and under the helmet with Husker great and truly one of the best that was ever a part of the program. Of course, we're talking about our dear, dear friend, Jason Peter, and it's great to catch up with you. How are you, Jason?
I'm catching up on some sleep up here in Lincoln. The little one is about a month old now, so I wouldn't say we're over the hump yet, but I think I can start to see it on the horizon.
Well, I hope the temperatures are starting to dip up there, too, because it has been, and we've talked about it so many times over the past couple of weeks, it's been just an exceptionally hot summer here in Texas.
It's been brutal up here, to the point that you don't want to go outside. I feel bad having, you know, obviously we don't take the little one out in this heat, but we have a two-year-old, and sometimes I'm sitting there in the house thinking, gosh, you know, she's two. She really, you know, she should be outside. I need to take her outside and let her run around in the yard and dig up dirt and eat dirt and all that stuff. And I just say to myself, no way. I mean, I go and I take one step out the door, and it's like this heat just smacks you right in the face, and you say, forget it, I'll wait, hopefully tomorrow it will cool down a little bit.
It always takes your breath away. I'm curious, you know, I had said in our open that, you know, college football season, it's just around the corner, the guys are going to be reporting to camp. How hot was it when you would come from New Jersey and you would report to Lincoln, Nebraska? I mean, how hot was it when you guys were gearing up and getting ready to put those pads on?
The cracks in the road, all right, where they would fill it with kind of just that fill-in tar in August, and not every year, but just some years when it was hot, the tar would bubble. It would get so hot, and especially back then, too. I mean, when you talk about practice and stuff, I mean, we were on AstroTurf. That stuff soaks in that sun and the heat,
wow.
And it makes it probably 20, 30 degrees warmer than what it normally is. So it was something, I mean, where the bottoms of your feet, because you wouldn't wear cleats, not the same as, you know, what these guys are playing on now, you'd wear the flat bottoms. The bottoms of your feet would burn. I mean, some guys that, you know, would just stand there on the sidelines, maybe guys that were third or fourth string guys, I know sometimes they would be in the training room afterwards getting treatment on their feet because they had, like, minor burns from the AstroTurf being so hot.
Well, and I'm curious, too. Now, you're kind of an old-school guy. I don't want to date you. I think one year you played in the Big 8, then you played in the Big 12 Conference. Coach Osborne, Coach McBride. I mean, were these guys, did they keep you hydrated, or did they say, no, you can't have a water break? I mean, what was it like back in the day?
I'm not that old, all right? So when back
sorry.
In the day, it makes it seem like I played in the 60s or 70s, but it was kind of back in the day. And what they're doing now with keeping guys hydrated, that wasn't, you know, something that coaches really concerned themselves with. I mean, the staff always made sure, especially during training camp, that we were drinking enough water and that there was Gatorade available to us. But, you know, there were 10, 15-minute breaks for guys to, you know, just focus on replenishing their bodies. I remember it was going into my sophomore year, the first year that I was going to be a starter. It was for that going into the 1995 season. And the supplement, I guess, that was coming onto the market back then was creatine. And the strength staff had the entire team pretty much loaded up on this stuff. And it was creatine that isn't like the creatine today. Today you could get it and it's pure and all the impurities are out of it. And, you know, it absorbs into the body well. Well, this was just raw. This was, you know, the first stuff to come onto the market, and it would suck the water out of your muscles for the most part. And I remember after the first day in two-a-day, in training camp when we had full pads on, we were in the training room. There was probably 30 of us. All at the same time, our bodies just go into full body cramps. There were IV bags hanging from the training room down to the locker room, down to the training table. It was, to this day, probably one of the most painful experiences that I've ever had were full body cramps. I remember lying on the table, and you're thinking to yourself, I want to die. I would rather die than experience this pain. Never in a million years would I think, you know, because I've had cramps, whether it's your calf or, you know, you cramp up sometimes in your chest or in your abdomen. And but having your entire body cramping at the same time, it was probably, if not the most, one of the top three or four most painful traumas, I guess, that I've experienced.
How do you get through something like that? I mean, how long does it take once the IV, you know, starts kicking in?
Probably within 10, 15, 20 minutes, somewhere around there, with the body cramps would settle. But then you got to continue to drink water and Gatorade for the rest of the night. And unfortunately, you got to be ready to go and practice again at 7 in the morning. You know, I'm sure that if I had asked Coach Osborne for a day off, he probably would have said sure, but our mentality was, I'm not missing practice tomorrow. I mean, we wanted to be out there, but going through those full body cramps was experiencing pretty much an additional practice. That's the kind of trauma that your body's going through with just the exertion that you're putting out from your muscles. It probably is better than any workout that I've ever experienced. But, I mean, just lying there on the table in the training room, and your muscles, say, for instance, out of your quads, it looks like there's an alien or something in there, and it's trying to break out through the skin. I mean, your muscles cramp so hard. Needless to say, they were a little bit more careful with how much creatine that guys were taking after that training camp.
We are reliving some memories of Jason Peter, his time at the University of Nebraska and playing for Coach Osborne this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. And Jason, you know, here we are in the month of July. We're getting ready to wrap it all up, and there are the college headlines continue. And that being major NCAA violations result in probation for LSU football. Were you surprised to hear this come out?
Surprised? Not really. I mean, we're talking about an SEC school here. That stuff is kind of par for the course, I'd say. You could probably, you know, kind of like a pin the tail on the donkey, you could put all the SEC schools up on the wall, and chances are you're going to hit one that's probably something wrong. That's just the truth. I mean, you know, they play great football down there, but there's a lot of shady stuff that goes on. Not to say it doesn't happen anywhere else. I mean, Oregon, I guess, was involved in something a month or so ago, with something similar with using some recruiting service. But this kind of is more, I think, when you look at the penalties and the loss of scholarships, and I think official visits maybe were reduced. I think more of that is generated towards that assistant coach, the ex-assistant coach, McCarthy, who I guess was arranging transportation for a player as well as housing, and then he tried to cover it up as well. I think that's probably more where the penalty is coming into play. But, you know, I think if you look hard enough, I think you could probably find something at pretty much every school, because unfortunately you got 18, 19, 20, 21 year old kids, young men. They think they know everything, but in reality they don't know much, and they think that they can do something that has been an issue for years and years and years. And it's been an issue that coaches, they touch upon every single training camp once or twice throughout the season, just in terms of, you know, accepting gifts, you know, taking a free meal, all that stuff. Well, there's usually one or two knuckleheads that think that, you know, the rules either don't apply to them or that nobody's going to catch them and that they're smarter than everybody else. And this day and age, with everything that these guys do, you know, most likely being caught on tape, a camera, cell phone, something, they're not going to get away with anything. And, you know, you got to remember the guy that, you know, whether it's a booster or whatever, that guy, he's running around. He's not doing it because he thinks you're a great guy and he wants to help. He's doing it because he wants to be part of the program. He wants to be, you know, more than just a fan or more than just a booster. Well, what do you think he's doing when he gets together with his buddies? He's telling stories about how, you know, he's helping out so-and-so, or that so-and-so is coming to his house for dinner, or so, you know, I did this for this guy. And that, I mean, those guys then, you know, they don't have any affiliation with that player. Then all it takes is for one of those guys to run their mouth, and boom, you're caught. I mean, look at the whole deal with Jim Tressel at Ohio State. I mean, that was a former Buckeye, I think, that was probably had good intentions with trying to alert Jim Tressel of stuff that was going on, but ultimately, you know, his emails are being revealed, and you know, it seems like there's nothing, whether it's legal or illegal, there's nothing that will remain a secret for too long.
Absolutely, not in the day and time that we live. And, you know, being a Division I athlete, I mean, you almost have to just, you know, you're living a life in a bubble. I mean, you've got to be so careful with your associations, who you hang with. And as you said, you know, it seems like everybody is motivated by something. Everyone seems to have a little bit of an agenda, and you've got to be so careful with who you surround yourself with. Jason Peter is with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. And Jason, you bring up a great point and topic. You're talking about Oregon and some of the things that they've had to deal with, you know, paying for recruiting services. I wanted to get your thoughts. What do you think about recruiting services? Is it a good thing? You know, because it seems like there's a rise in the controversy of them.
I'm glad you brought this up, because I hate them. I think they're a joke. I think they're doing a disservice to these kids. You know, you got a bunch of guys that probably never had a jock strap on in their life sitting behind computers, and they're attaching grades to these kids. You know, they're saying this kid's a five-star. He's going to be a future first-round draft pick in the NFL. Really? I mean, are you kidding me? How in the world can you forecast what a kid's going to do, you know, over the next 4 or 5 years of his life? I mean, some kids are just late bloomers. I mean, I didn't start playing football till my junior year in high school. You know, I had to pretty much do another year of high school just to get some interest in scholarships from some of these major Division I schools. But, you know, they have these kids showing up on campus, and already they've had 100 articles written about them. These kids walk on campus, and they think that the school owes them something. There used to be something where you just arrived and you were just a freshman, and you had to work your tail off for everything that you got. And now these kids show up on campus, and, you know, they've already, you know, laid down the ground rules for the coaching staff that I'm going to play as a freshman, and if I don't, well, you know, you're going to sign my release papers. But, you know, I just think that it soils these kids, it kind of tarnishes them. And you know, I think when somebody's already labeled you a future all-star, well, there's sometimes I think a lot of the drive is taken out of the kid. He thinks that, well, they must think or see something in me, right? I mean, I'm going to be a future first round guy, or I'm going to be a guy who plays 7 or 8 years in the NFL. You know, it's just going to come naturally. And there used to be, you know, a time when you worked for everything you got. I mean, you know, fortunately for me, I come from or played at Nebraska, where Coach Osborne and the recruiting services weren't as big back then, obviously, as they are now. I think there was, you know, two. There was one Super Prep magazine, and the other one was Tom Lemming's Recruiting Service. And they put out a thing each year, and that was it. But Coach Osborne and the staff never cared about what a player was ranked. And in turn, Coach Osborne never had a recruiting class, and I'm talking more about those teams in the 90s, never had a recruiting class in the top 20, I believe. My recruiting class that ended up walking out with three national championships, I don't even believe we were in the top 25. And, you know, it was, you're a good football player, and that's all we need to see. I think sometimes coaches almost feel pressured to sign kids that have a certain amount of stars next to their name. Otherwise, you know, the media is going to rip them for not having a good recruiting class. And let's face it, nowadays, recruiting in itself is a whole other part of the season. I mean, it used to be there was an off season that recruiting took place in. Now, that off season, it has a name, and it's called recruiting. And coaches have to succeed in that part as well, I think. You know, not everybody wins national championships. So I think it's a way for a coach to kind of, you know, mark one on the bedpost, so to speak, that, you know, at least I won this battle, or I won this war. Might not have won the battle, but I won this war. And I just, you know, I think you could go out and find the best kids to me sometimes are the three-star kids, two-star kids that they have labeled because they feel like they got snubbed and they got something to prove. Those are the types of players you want. You want guys who show up on campus and say, I'm going to prove everybody wrong.
And are you surprised, though, to see so many of the big-name coaches and the schools and that how heavily they do rely on these recruiting services?
Yeah, it's shocking to me. It really is. You know, I know that they're all you know, in contact with these guys, and obviously sometimes too close, you know, where they're paying some of these services. But, you know, I think there are still a good handful of coaches that say, I don't need to know how many stars this kid has next to his name. All I need to do is put on the film, and if the kid shows up and he can play football, then that's the type of guy that I want. You know, at least that's how I imagine that if I was a coach, you know, that's what I would want. You know, I don't really value the opinion of some guy who's never played the game before. I mean, you know, the Bill Parcells and the Bill Belichicks, the guys that have never played and end up, you know, going all the way to the top, they're few and far between. Most of these guys that have never even gone to see some of these high school players play in person, you know, how can you make a judgment like that? And nowadays, like I said, so much emphasis is put on these services. And, I mean, I see it here at Nebraska, too, you know, more so with the message boards and the fan. You know, the fan that thinks he knows everything and every school has got him, and you know, they hide behind some name on their computer and they rip everything that, you know, everybody says or every play that a player plays, and this guy has never put his hand in the dirt once. And you know, every school has him, but, you know, they're everywhere, and, you know, that's one of the things that they like to do, too, is, you know, they tear apart these kids that get signed to these schools, and they know nothing about them.
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. As always, we like to direct you to our radio website, that is eradiosports.com. And, JP, I want to talk to you about USC's Mark Tyler, but I have to tell you just real quick, I mean, that is remarkable, listening to you talk, that you did not start playing the game of football until you were a junior in high school. And look, I mean, that's incredible. You went on to be a first-round draft pick and play in the NFL. I mean, that, as you talk about, that is few and far between. That's pretty amazing.
You know, Alyssa, I mean, the reality is that most guys will never see an NFL stadium other than if they're a paying customer. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And when you break it down even more and you talk about the amount of kids that are signed each recruiting class, and the amount of kids that actually get to play. I mean, really play, whether it's offense, defense. I'm not talking about running down on special teams once or twice in their career, but the guys that actually get to play, the percentage of that, it's tiny. It really is. So that's the thing that bothers me is there's statistics out there. I mean, you know, these recruiting services, they know the amount of guys that will actually be first-rounders. I mean, 30-plus guys. That's it. Yet, how many guys do they give five-star grades to?
That makes the point, doesn't it? Okay, let's talk about USC's Mark Tyler, because there's some questionable comments caught on video by TMZ, and it has certainly landed this running back in some very hot water. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, you got to be embarrassed a little bit. I mean, you know, with the Kim Kardashian comment, you know, I think he probably had a little bit too much to drink. You know, he talks about the Trojans and them getting paid and taking a pay cut when they go to the NFL. And that's kind of, you know, a joke that everybody says when you're talking about USC, but it usually doesn't come from your own players. Yeah, just, you know, I mean, it goes back, and not that anybody was secretly videotaping him, kind of what I was referring to before with the cell phone cameras and everything. I mean, he looked into the camera and he offered this up himself, but you just got to imagine that alcohol probably was playing a part, he should be embarrassed. You know, I don't think... you're going to look back at this and be proud of it. I'm sure that you've got teammates who don't take anything. You know, I know that if there was a guy on my team that went out and ran his mouth and was talking about how he was getting paid, and I would be pissed, because I'm in the weight room and I'm up at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning trying to get ready to win a national championship, and I'm not taking anything. Yet, you know, you got some knucklehead out there who, you know, in all honesty, I mean, who's Mark Tyler? What has he done? I mean, I haven't seen him on any American lists. I mean, that's the worst, is when you get guys that, you know, haven't even been successful, and they're the ones that are you know, out running their mouth.
I guess the good news is, you know, he seems somewhat contrite, and, you know, he talked about that, you know, hey, I was joking, but I realized, you know, that my behavior and the statements that he had made, you know, was an embarrassment to the university, to his teammates, and to his coaches. So hopefully he'll mature and grow up. One of the things I did want to talk to you about, Jason, before we move in and hit on as Nebraska gets ready for the Big Ten Conference this year, the Texas Longhorn Network, it is really raising some concerns around the Big 12. And you shared some things before we started today's interview that, you know, how that perhaps, you know, played an impact or a role with Nebraska moving out of the Big Ten Conference. Can you weigh in on that?
Yeah, you know, there was numerous reasons, I think, why Nebraska ended up departing, but I know one of them was with the conference wanting to do a Big 12 network like the Big Ten network, and do something where, you know, each school would have similar revenue as to what the Big Ten, and I think the Big Ten teams were pulling in $22 million alone a year from for every school in just the short time that the Big Ten has had it. Nebraska, and I think the 10 other schools in the conference were all on board except for Texas. You know, I know that a lot of people, you know, there's that motto, everything's bigger and better in Texas. And you know, a lot of my teammates at Nebraska were from Texas, and we always would joke around. And, you know, they'd always say, though, the best things are down in Texas, the prettiest girls are in Texas. And that, you know, is probably true. But to rub it in everybody's face, you just don't need to do that. But, you know, Texas didn't want to do it. You know, they wanted to do their own network. I think they have this feeling of, if somebody is going to turn on the Big 12 network, they're turning it on to watch Texas play. And why are we going to share revenue with 11 other schools if we're the main attraction? and, you know, that type of thinking, that you're more important to the conference than anybody else, whether it's true or not. You know, I'm sure the University of Texas is pulling in enough revenue each year that the network, a Big 12 network, is not going to make or break Texas's bank account. And, you know, they're always going to be in the positive. You know, Texas football is huge, but I know for Nebraska, you know, looking at it, you can't have Texas not be part of the network. And
you have to wonder, too, Jace, let me jump in here. You know, you have to wonder, too, how big of an advantage this is going to be with this Longhorn network in terms of recruiting and drawing these athletes. I mean, everybody's looking for that leg up and that edge, and boy, this is really huge.
Sure.
And we're hearing, you know, Oklahoma talking a lot about their new network that they're going to be starting.
Listened to Coach Stoops over the weekend on an interview. And
how about that?
mentioning how Oklahoma is in the works. But, I mean, you know, can Baylor do that? Can Iowa State, can those schools pull off their own school networks? No. I mean, and ultimately then you're going to get this separation, this division of the haves and the have-nots. And the have-nots are not going to be able to make it. They're not going to be able to make it. And eventually the conference will crumble and fall. When you're out with this mindset that we're getting everything for us and we're not giving two hoots about everybody else, you know, ultimately you're going to fail. I mean, you've got to kind of be strong together. I mean, even, you know, when you look at the national picture and you turn on a bowl game where it's an SEC team against somebody else, it doesn't matter what school is playing. At some point, you're going to hear a chant, and it's SEC, SEC. For as shady as things are down there, and you hear about people killing each other because, you know, they're fans of their bitter rival, there is something where even if their school is not playing, they still want that SEC team to win. And I don't know if you get that feeling at Nebraska or amongst the Big 12 teams.
Right.
I don't think you ever did. I think it was kind of, you know, I know Nebraska fans, they cheered for Oklahoma fans. If Oklahoma was playing, and whenever, even still to this day, if Oklahoma's playing and Nebraska's not playing them, people want Oklahoma to win. Not the same, you know, when
that goes back to the good old days of the Big 8 conference, though, JP.
I know. And, you know, there are some strong ties there. I mean, you have schools that have been in the same conference for a long time. But then you kind of get Texas that comes into the mix. And it seems like when the rules are set up, you know, a lot of it is favoring, you know, Texas and some of those other Texas schools. But, you know, whatever. I mean, when you think like that, where, you know, forget everybody else, we're just going to get what's ours. And I just, you know, in the end, I don't think it will work. And eventually, I think if they continue with that mindset, where they're not willing to come down a little bit, and you know, you got to help the other teams, other schools out occasionally. In some aspects, you're going to have to sacrifice maybe some of your own financial gain so that the conference as a whole can remain strong. If they don't do that, ultimately the conference will fail.
Jason Peter has been along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We look forward to every week when he is on our program. We are so close to the start of the college football season, as always. We didn't give you a break in this offseason, JP. You didn't get any downtime. You get the first week of August off, and that's like it. So,
yeah, it's right around the corner. I mean, if it wasn't for this heat, I think you could probably smell it in the air. Football season's right around the corner.
It's been crazy. You know, it got so hot early down here in Texas, and so it was kind of hard just to, you know, just jump right into it. But listen, we look forward to catching up with you next week, and be safe, and we'll talk to you real soon. Okay?
Thanks, E.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Join us online at eradiosports.com. We'll be right back.